You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, turn with me to John, the first chapter. I'm just going to, something that's on my heart I'm going to share with you tonight. We're not on a series yet on Wednesdays. We're going to start one here pretty quick. But we finished up a series on overcoming temptation. Last week we taught about prosperity with a purpose, I think. Well, actually Jan was here last week. Jan Moore. And on Sunday mornings we are teaching on biblical finance. You know, what the scripture says about that. For at least two or three more weeks we will be teaching along those lines. But I had this on my heart, and it's a simple message. Everybody say simple.
Simple.
Maybe cornbread and beans, may not be steak and potatoes, but you know, hey, you need cornbread and beans. Amen?
Amen.
And this stuff, really, we let slip. I think the simple things in life, we let slip. Sometimes we're looking for complicated truth or deep truth, and all that time, the simple things are just sliding by. You know, the things that really make us what we are and who we are. Amen. So I want to talk a little bit about just who we are in Christ, that we're saved. Praise God, we're not going to hell, we're going to heaven.
Yeah.
I know you're real thrilled about that.
Amen.
But I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going to hell, but I mean, you know, God really doesn't want you to go there, and you shouldn't either. But He made a way for you to go to heaven, and of course that's Jesus. He's the way. And any time when you get through the Scripture and go through the Scripture and look at the Bible, because really this is it. I mean, it's got to line up with His Word. This is like a map. This is like a guide or a manual, as it were, that God has given us to live by. And it points to Jesus. Ultimate truth gets us to Him. If you don't get to Jesus, you hadn't got the truth yet. It's not just about doctrine and teaching. It's about getting to Jesus. Jesus is the star in this show. He's the one that gave His life for us that we might go to heaven. God loved us so much, He sent His Son for us to die for us, to pay for our sins, because we couldn't pay for our sins. We're just not that good. I'd hate to pop your bubble tonight, but you're just not that good. And it's time you figured that out. We figured it out a long time ago. But anyway, none of us are that good. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so there's no way we're going to pay the price. No way we're going to be good enough to go there. But Jesus came, and He sent His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for our sins. He was sinless, spotless. He was God in the flesh. Praise God. He was the Word made flesh dwelling among us. And He lived a sinless, holy life and died on the cross for our sins. And you know what? He came out of that grave and that tomb is empty.
Amen.
Now, Buddha never did anything like that. Muhammad never did anything like that either. And it won't be Buddha sitting on that throne. And it won't be Muhammad calling you home. And it won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. Praise God. It's going to be Jesus. And it doesn't matter whether we're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic Church, Christ, right on down the list, International Outreach Church. This church didn't die for your sins, and no other body of people did, but Jesus did.
Amen.
Woohoo!
Amen. Amen.
Sorry to give you all that good news, but that's the way it is. But that doesn't help you or I. It doesn't help us if we don't make it personal.
Amen.
It does you no good whatsoever. I mean, when I think of David, if you go through the Psalms, when David would talk about God, he would make it very personal.
Right.
You know, he didn't say things like, "The Lord is the shepherd." He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he never really stopped right there either. He didn't just say, "The Lord is my shepherd." He stated the fact of the Lord being his shepherd. And then he made a statement of faith. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So he based his life. It meant something, this personal statement about God being his shepherd, not just a shepherd, but his shepherd, meant that he would not want. And I think that's where we miss is we don't always make the scripture real personal. It's kind of, you know, in theory or abstract or a doctrine, as it were. But salvation should be personal. Are you with me? Prayer should be personal. We talk about love. You should take that very personally. You ought to love people. And we talk about forgiveness. That's very personal. You ought to forgive people. We talk about holiness. You ought to live holy. I mean, come on. You need to make it personal or it's not real. Isn't that correct? And that's where you make contact. When I got saved, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior when I was 19, that's when I made it personal. I made it personal. I came to Jesus. I called on Him. I accepted what He said about salvation, that I was lost and I needed a Savior. I called on this Savior and I made it personal. And I called on Him and called Him my Lord and my Savior. He's no longer a Savior, a Lord, but He's my Lord and my Savior.
Amen.
And see, the Scripture should be that way. When God makes promises and He says this and so, until you get down and you apply that to your life and you personalize that, it's not going to come alive and it's not going to have an effect on you. Now, people can say all kinds of things about us we take personally. I'm amazed at that. We hear things sideways that so-and-so said, that so-and-so said, that we heard from our first cousin, third cousin removed. And then we get all upset because we take it personally. And then God says something, we don't need to take it personally. Listen, if ever we were to take anything personally, this should be the thing we take personally.
Yes.
Right here. If God says it, that's the way it is. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. Amen? And so, concerning salvation, real simply, if you go through the Scriptures about them, and you look at those Scriptures, and you hear what it says, and you apply it to your life, then you can make personal statements of faith yourself. Woohoo!
Yes.
Man, that's exciting. Amen. John, first chapter, let's look at that. Not a deep message, not a complicated message, but I'm telling you this truth. If you apply it to the other things that God says and other needs in your life and go through the Scripture and find what God says, people say all kinds of things. Listen, doctors say things. God bless them. And, you know, authorities, people that we look up to, leadership say things. God bless them. Some are right, some are wrong. I don't know. Nobody's perfect. But when God says something, man, that's the final word. That ought to be something we really personalize. Well, I heard this and I heard that. Well, the doctor said this and so-and-so said that. And I got news over here about that. But God says this. Now, at some point, you're going to have to say, it's going to be for me, like somebody said.
Like God says, amen.
I would like to choose God. How about you?
Yes.
I believe we can trust Him.
Yes.
I believe He's current, up to date, and I believe He overrules everything else.
Amen.
It's not that people are lying. Of course, people aren't lying. They're telling you what they see. Doctors are telling you what they study. And thank God for doctors. Thank God for hospitals. We're for all that. We're for the authorities and the powers that be. But nobody's perfect. Only God is. Amen. And there are laws that actually overrule those laws. Even though that's happening, there's a higher law. You know, there's a thing called gravity that holds this Bible down. Wow, that was... Did y'all like that demonstration?
Okay.
But there's a higher law called the law of lift that overrules gravity and just picks it up.
That's right.
I don't deny gravity. It's there. It's real. But you know what? There's a higher law. Gravity will lift up... I mean, can be lifted up by the law of lift. And sickness and disease and those kinds of things, and depression and fears, and those things that are real out there in the world, there are higher laws. There's the law of healing. The peace of God that passeth all understanding drives out fear and drives out depression. Oh, it's real what you're battling and what you're facing, but there's a higher law.
Yeah.
It just depends on which one you connect with. Are you going to connect with God and His Word, make it personal? It's going to be like God says, not like I feel, not like they say. It's going to be like God says, or... we're going to accept what we feel and what everybody else says, and we're just going to personalize that. We don't want to connect with that. I want to connect with the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
I want to connect with what God says. So concerning salvation, it's really pretty simple. Notice it first in John, the Gospel of John, first chapter, the 11th verse says, He came, speaking of Jesus, to His own, and His own did not receive Him. That's a fascinating thing that Jesus came to the Jewish nation, and yet, as you well know, the Jewish nation rejected Him. They're the ones that actually crucified Him.
Amen.
Not all of them. There were some Jews, obviously, that didn't. The 12 disciples were Jews that accepted Jesus. But as a whole, the leadership and the hierarchy, they crucified. Jesus didn't originally come to the Gentile world. He didn't originally come to the Roman world. He came to His own first, and they rejected Him.
Amen.
Because they reject Him, now He came to all of us, thank God. Because of their rejection, we've been accepted.
That's right.
Good deal, amen? But notice what He says. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Everybody say, did not receive Him. So He intended to save them. He intended to help them. He intended to die for them, bless them. But they, of their own free will, rejected Him. What He wanted did not happen. I mean, the idea that everything that God wants always happens is not true, because God wants everyone to be saved, and they don't all get saved. He wishes and desires that all should come to eternal life, that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life, the Bible says. But you and I both know that everybody doesn't receive Jesus. Everybody doesn't believe in Jesus. You have a will. I have a will. You have a choice. We're not robots. We're not puppets on a string. Listen, He's not the master puppeteer, whoever that was, Pinocchio, Lupito, what was the guy's name? That's the guy. Yeah. Yeah. God's not up there and we're Pinocchio, you know, and no, that's not the case. We have free will. We're not puppets. We're not slaves. And God will not force His will on us. But to as many, notice the next verse, but as many as received Him, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the children of God. to those who believe in His name. Man, wow. That's not deep. That's pretty simple. Jesus came, He died, He presented Himself. Many rejected Him, but to those that received Him, I did that. I did that when I was 19 years old. I received Him, and you know what happened? I believed on His name, and it says here, but as many as received Him, not received, thank God for churches. My goodness, we're pro-church. Not received Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, International Outreach Church, Church of Christ, Catholic, all these. Thank God for church. We are for church. So you understand, don't run out of here and say, oh, that pastor, he's just against it. No, are you kidding me? Man, I'm for people that preach Jesus. Hallelujah. There's some good people, love God, going to heaven in all those churches I just named. But we received Jesus, and that's the ones that received eternal life, the ones that received Him.
Amen.
Hey, this is personal, okay? This is not a doctrine, some theory or some abstract teaching or this is meeting Jesus. This is coming to Him, oh happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, He came to His own, but His own received Him not. They didn't receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name.
Yes.
Man, that's awesome truth. So what I should do is take that and say, make it personal. I have received Jesus. I believe in His name, the name of Jesus. So I am a child of God. Because that's what the Bible says right there. Isn't that right? Because see, now I'm connecting with it because I'm making it personal. It's not just a word. It's not just a teaching. It's not just a doctrine. I actually have obeyed the principle. I actually made it personal. I have received Jesus. Since I have received Jesus, He has given me the right to become a child of God. Therefore, I am a child of God. I have believed on His name. Man. So I am a child of God. Mm-mm-mm.
Amen.
How do I know that? Well, I know that because God said that. And I am one of those that received Him.
That's right.
I'm not one of those that rejected Him. I received Him. I'm not one of those that don't believe. I'm one of those that do believe.
Yes.
I believe on His name, Jesus, His name. Therefore, I have the right to become a child of God. Next verse says, who were born, that's you, me, all of us who received and believed, who were born not of blood, natural, we're not talking about natural blood, natural birth. We're not talking about whether we're white, black, Hispanic, Asian, you know, whatever. Oh, come on now. It's not a natural race. There's no race in God. There's no color in God. Neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek. No. It's not that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual birth here. He's talking about believing on Jesus, receiving Him. And we are born, these people, us included, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Amen.
So this new birth, this salvation thing, you know what it is? It's a God thing. It's not a man thing. It's not anything you could do other than receive it. You didn't earn it. You weren't good enough to get it. What you did was receive what He offered. And He offered you salvation. Now listen to this. He offered you salvation by offering you His Son. Because
yes.
Salvation is not something separate from His Son. Salvation is in His Son. So when I received Jesus, I got the whole package.
Yeah.
He wasn't the starter pack. You know, and then I get all these other upgrades, you know. Got to download all these upgrades and these fixes, you know. Oh, no. He's it. He's the whole deal. He wasn't a beta version. He wasn't a test. Well, let's throw this out and see if it works. No, I mean, He's the whole deal. He is it. He is our salvation. I love that. I love preaching Jesus because Jesus is the whole deal. You know, when you think about it, if you want healing, you don't need something separate from Jesus. You need Jesus. You need the healer. So you can't... See, you can't have peace outside of Jesus because it's not outside of Him.
That's right.
You can't have salvation outside of Jesus because it's not outside of Him. It is in Him.
That's right.
So we don't need salvation separate from Jesus. We need Jesus who has our salvation.
Yes.
Jesus who is our healer.
Yes.
Jesus who is our peace giver.
Yes.
In life, we just need more Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's got what we need. God's not making a lot of offers here. He's just making one deal, one offer, one deal. No, you don't have Jesus, got no deal. It's just one deal. It's not a Methodist deal, Baptist deal, Pentecostal deal, Catholic deal, Church of Christ deal, all these deals. Thank God for these churches, and thank God for the preaching, the teaching they do, and thank God for the people that attend those churches, and this one included. But the deal's Jesus.
Amen.
He's the deal. And to as many as received Him, to them gave He power, the right, or the authority to become a child of God, who believe on His name, who were born not of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, nor blood, but of God. See, what has happened to me is of God. It is a God thing. It's not of man, it's of God. Salvation is of Him. I'm not good enough to be saved. You weren't either. None of us were. He did what we couldn't do. Praise God. Woo!
Yes.
Turn to John 3:16. Boy, here's a good one. You ought to all know this. This is the one you see on the banners at the football games. John 3:6 is probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. Interesting enough, Jesus is the one that said it. Hallelujah. Now think about that. These are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Jesus speaking. Actually speaking on the matter of salvation. Speaking on the matter of being born again. Talking to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews who came to Him by night. And Jesus began to explain to him how to be born again. Not born naturally. Nicodemus said something. He says, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born second time? That would be reincarnation. You know, that'd be like the Hindu faith, you know, where they just keep coming back till they get it right. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That's why you don't step on anything, kill anything, because it might be your grandmother. You just don't know. You know. But we're making fun. They really truly believe that, but it's wrong. Reincarnation is wrong. You got one shot at this deal, and this is it. Okay. That's it. It's appointed man once to die, then the judgment. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that. So what's he talking about? I can't be born again naturally. That's what Nicodemus said. Can a man enter the second time? Jesus said, well, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit.
That's right.
We're talking about a spiritual birth, not a fleshly birth. I mean, if you had another shot at this deal, you'd mess it up again.
Wow.
Are you out there? Oh, come on. Man, if I just have my life to live over again, you'd do the same dumb thing. You really would. Or maybe something else dumber. You know, you think you could fix it, but you can't fix it. You can't fix it. Only Jesus can fix your life. That's all. And salvation is not something you could ever attain. You could never be good enough to get it. It is a God thing, not a man thing. It's not what you quit, it's what you get. You can quit everything in the world and still go to hell unless you get Jesus. To as many as received Him. I believe that will change your life. I think your life will be better. I believe it will. You'll have the power of God on your side now, and Jesus in you, and the Holy Spirit in you, and the Word of God to help you overcome sin. You'll still sin from time to time, but you'll get better at overcoming it, and you'll have a better life and a better marriage, and your life will be better. I can testify that. My life's been changed. I mean, I went from drugs and jails and just a wild lifestyle to getting saved, God just changed my life completely. I don't even think the way I used to think. I'm not even that person anymore.
Amen.
I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm born again.
Amen.
From heaven, see? From heaven, not from this earth. I didn't need another shot at it down here. I needed something changed on the inside. And that's what happened. And so Jesus explained that to Nicodemus, and he goes down to this famous verse in the 16th verse, and it says, for God so loved the world. Man, get a hold of that. God does not hate you. He does not hate you. Well, I know He didn't like me. No, God loves you. If He had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it.
Amen.
It would be. If He had a wallet, your photo would be in that wallet. God is crazy about you. He didn't have to come down here. He was doing just fine. He didn't have to send Jesus down here. Heaven was doing wonderful.
Right.
It was lovely in heaven. They were singing, holy, holy, holy in heaven. They were flying around the throne, and there's no sickness up there, and there's no disease up there, and there's nothing that hurts or harms up there. There are no mosquitoes, chiggers, or red bugs. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Heaven's a wonderful place. There's no funeral homes, no hospitals in heaven. Nobody ever dies, nobody ever gets sick up there.
Right.
He didn't have to come down here for him. He came down here for you.
That's right.
Think about it. For God so loved the world. He loved us. Loved you. Loved me. Man, that's the message of the gospel. That God loves us. Everybody wants to talk about God's power. Talk about God's, you know, control. What about His love?
Yes.
His love is what the Bible tells us about. His love is what Jesus showed us. When Jesus went around healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils and stopping storms and giving to the poor. Come on. What we see is not control freak here. We see God loving us and wanting to help us and heal us and forgive us, forgives the sinners. All through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John follow Jesus as He walks the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum. And I mean, He's healing the sick and raising the dead and blessing and not cursing, healing and raising from the dead, not killing, stopping storms, not starting storms. And Jesus wasn't a Jeremiah or Ezekiel or a Daniel. Jesus wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a good man or an apostle like Peter or Paul. Jesus is the Son of God, actually God in the flesh. There's never been a clearer picture of God than Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus, you see God in action.
Yeah. That's right.
Throw out all the theory and all the doctrine, all the teaching, and look at Him, and you got the truth in Him. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh dwelling among us. Walk with Him, and you see the love of God.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. That's not what you see in the Quran.
That's right.
There's no love in the Islamic faith. I'm not on a bandwagon against that. I'm not just trying to blast him, but I'm just telling you, Muhammad won't take you to heaven. And if there's anything about Jesus, anything that we see through Him that characterizes God, it is His love for us.
Yes.
He really, truly loves us. So much that He will not make us go to heaven.
Yeah.
That if we choose to go to hell, we'll go to hell, and it'll be our choice, not His. His arms will be extended, and His call will be saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He'll be calling to the day you die. And you'll either accept it or you reject it, but He won't make you do one or the other. Because He wants your love.
That's right.
Amen? So it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." I love that because love gives. That's how I know God is not all about control. You know, God's not... He's not insecure. Just not insecure about that. He's got rules, and you know, it's going to happen just like He said. He's not worried about that.
That's right.
In fact, He'll share His control. He'll share His rule with us if we submit, if we, you know, obey. But that's not what He's all about. You know, we talk about God all-powerful. Well, actually, God is love.
Yeah.
Is what He is. And it's going to happen like He says, no question. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and life is short. Heaven's high and hell is hot. I understand that. But all that time, He's loving us all that time, trying to get us to come to Him, trying to get us to receive Him, because He wants no one to go to hell.
Yes.
And yet hell is full.
Amen.
That's the sad, sad note. But that's your choice. That's not His. And He wants to complete you. He wants to make you. You know that old army thing, be all, you know, what is that?
Be all you can be.
Be all you can be, you know. Well, if you want to really be all you can be, come to Jesus.
That's right.
He will complete you. You'll become you're not whole until you get to Him anyway. You're broken and you're incomplete and you never become what you're supposed to be till you get to Jesus. There's no complete people in hell. There's no whole people in hell. Everyone in hell is lost. Everyone in hell is broken. Everyone in hell is incomplete. Everyone in hell never, ever was fulfilled. Never, ever. Because they never came to Jesus. Jesus fulfills us. He completes us. He makes us whole. And heaven is full of whole people. It's full of complete people. It's full of people that have been fulfilled in Christ. There's only one way to be fulfilled, and that's to get to Jesus. Are you with me? That's what's so sad. It's more than just going to heaven and missing hell. It's about being fulfilled and completed and finding our destiny and our calling and what we're born for. We were born for this. We were made to serve God. We were made to live forever.
Amen.
To live holy, live right. And only Jesus can make that happen. See, you're not solid. You're not complete. You are corruptible and you're going to die and mortal. And all of us, we're going down that road without Jesus because He completes us.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
Better teach him y'all are amen. Good stuff. For God so loved the world that he gave, love gives, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Yes.
There it is again. Now think about that. Over there in the, John 1:11, 12th verse says, "But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name." Now here it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
Well, in this life we perish, we know that. But in eternity we can live forever and ever and ever. We can be non-perishable. In the food bank yesterday, we had to move some lettuce because it was perishing. And it was looking pretty bad too because it was perishing. We call produce perishables. That's what we call it because it's perishing quick. It goes down quick, you know. And in this life, we perish. All the outward man perisheth, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Says, although the outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. So we have an eternal home. We have an eternal existence in God, in Christ, because we've accepted and received him, and we will not perish. Why? Because we believe on him. Him who? Who God gave to us, his Son.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You should not perish. None of us should perish. The world should not perish. It does, but it should not. It should not. Why? Because of the love of God. Because of God's love in giving us his Son. Now, you know, let's make it personal. Think about it. I talk about that. You know, you got to make it personal. You got to personalize this. You can just quote that verse, but I mean, what good does it do if you don't personalize it? You should say, God so loved me that he gave his Son Jesus. I believe on his Son Jesus. Therefore, I will not perish. I have eternal life.
Amen. That's right.
Now see, you're making that statement on the basis of what he said.
Right.
That's not egotistical. That's not arrogant. That's not boasting or pride in ourselves. We're boasting the Lord. We're proud in him. We're not,
yes.
It's not what we did. He gave us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son to whoever. That's me. I'm a whoever.
Amen.
Are you a whoever?
Yes.
Okay. King James says whosoever, I think. You know. Whoever. Anybody that you, I don't care if you're from Wills Point, Frog, Elmo, Terrell, doesn't matter. There's somewhere in Texas. Nowhere else matters really, but anyway. No, I'm kidding. Whoever believes. Whoever believes. Well, now, okay, so I'm a whoever. So if I believe on him, Jesus, there it is now. It's not walking the aisle. Thank God for the aisles. Thank God for church services. Thank God for people that pray with you. And we should pray. But it's what you pray. It's what you say. It's not the aisle. It can happen out there. It can happen at your home. It can happen in a car. Are you with me? It happens when you believe on him. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, you cease to believe in yourself and the world that we live in and money and every other thing in the world that comes up that people put their trust in, and you say, no. I'm putting my trust in Jesus, who God gave to me because he loves me so much. I'm believing in Jesus, and glory to God, I'm not going to perish, but I'm going to live forever. I got everlasting life. I'm not hoping I got it. I got it.
Yes.
Because I believe. I'm a believer. I believe in this. I believe in his word. I believe in his promise. I believe in what he said here. I believe in Jesus. Man, I can lay down tonight. I don't have to worry about heaven and hell. I'm going to heaven.
Woo!
I have eternal life. I am not going to perish. I don't have to live in fear. I can live in faith.
That's right.
I can face the future with courage, with boldness. I can face it with faith and not fear.
That's right.
Praise God. I'm not going to hell. I don't know about the world, but I'm not going to hell.
Yeah.
And my family's not going to hell.
That's right.
We believe on Jesus. God loves us. Loves them too. They can have what I have. They can have what you have.
Amen.
You know. So you want to make it personal. That's what we're saying. Personalize this. You know, I was thinking of another one. John 17, turn there. Oh, I got a ton of them. We're not going to get through them tonight. But is this helping you?
Amen.
And see, these are things you know and I know. Come on now, most of us as Christians know this. But I don't think we spend much time thinking about it. We don't meditate on it like we should. You know, we don't put the emphasis on it that we should. I don't know what kind of day you had. I don't know. I don't know what you went through today. I don't know what you dealt with today. I don't know what came against you or who came against you or what news you got. But I know this. If you know Jesus, you are going to heaven. Hallelujah. I am not going to hell.
Yes.
I've got something to be excited about no matter what happens in life. And I think there are things we can do to change our life and make life better and all that. I understand that. But I know this, man, I'm going to heaven. Jesus died for my sins, and I believe on Him. I've trusted in Him. I've put my faith in Him. I am not going to perish. Maybe hot in Texas, but that's as hot as it's ever going to get for me.
Amen.
Woo! Okay. 17. This is Jesus speaking again. This is awesome. He's talking actually to His Father. In these are real intimate chapters here, 14, 15, 16 chapters. He's talking with His disciples in the upper room before He's going to be betrayed and then crucified. And in the 17th chapter, it's like a prayer. He's praying to His Father. And He says, just a simple little verse here in the third verse, it says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." I love that. You know a lot of things. I like to read. I read a lot of stuff. I know a lot of Scripture. Of course, I've been pastoring for 28 years. Come on. Preached a lot of messages. Been around the world. I've preached in India and, you know, all over southern India. I've preached in the mountains of India. And I've crossed rivers and climbed mountains and gone to where there's no cars and no roads. I've flown into the jungles of Guatemala and, you know, and gone up down the river in a boat because there's just no roads and no cars there, and preached in thatch roof villages in the Bataan jungle. I've been to El Salvador. I've been to Guatemala City, also Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. Been to Great Britain, preached in Wales in a Bible school in Wales, preached in Australia, preached in Terrell one time.
Wow.
Preached in Hawaii, preached all over the United States. I know a lot of stuff, you know, but none of that saves me. None of that saves me. This is life eternal, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Oh, I know a lot about history. I know a little bit of Greek. And, you know a lot about the books of the Bible. Studied a lot of stuff. Read a lot of books. Still read a lot of books. Read all the time. None of that saves me. None of that saves me. This is life eternal, that they may know You, the true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Now see, I stand before you today and tell you about all that stuff and all those places I've been, all those things I've done, and here's the deal. I know Jesus.
Yeah.
I know Jesus. I got eternal life.
Right.
Why? Because I know Jesus.
Right.
I know Him. I believed on Him, and this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. See, Jesus is not a doctrine. He's not a teaching. Although there's a lot of teaching about Him, and there's a lot of doctrine about Him, He is a person that I have met. I met Him when I was 19. I call on Him. I converse with Him. I talk to Him. And I met Him, and I know Him. I don't just know about Him. Oh, I can tell you all kinds of things about Him. We could be here all night telling you things about Jesus. But see, that doesn't save me knowing about Him. What saved me is that when I actually came to know Him, when I called on Him. I remember. I remember when I called on Him. I remember 19 years old, been a few more than 19 years ago. But anyway, 19 years ago, I came home, been working all day, and I was pretty wild, lived a wild lifestyle. And Brent and I were married, hadn't been married long. Chris was just a little kid, and I was working in Houston, and I came home, and a guy had been witnessing to me on the job, and I'd made fun of him at first, you know, and custom and everything, you know, laughed at him, thought it was crazy anybody believed in Jesus. Had to be a nutcase, you know. Man, I'm a nutcase now. But anyway, God kept dealing with me, and I kept praying for him. I'll tell you one of the things that really did it for me. He came in one day. He's my boss. came in one day to work. He says, we got a prayer jar at the front of our church. And I put your name in it. And our church is praying for you that you'd be saved. Now, he'd been witnessing to me for months at that time. And I said, you take my name out of that jar. I got scared. I thought, my days are numbered. They got my name in the jar. It actually scared me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, all that time, it's starting to break down my defenses. You know, this guy kept, he was real nice to me. He kept praying. You know, he'd tell me he's praying for me. And I, you know, finally I just quit making fun of him so much, you know, and started listening a little. And, you know, and when he said that, I mean, I'm telling you, I thought, no. You got to get that name out of that jar. Because I was thinking, I'm in trouble. These guys are praying. But I never will forget. I came home apartment that day, and I was, had to go pick Chris up at the daycare. Brenda was working downtown Houston, and first time I ever remember calling on God. I don't ever remember doing that. I mean, well, I lived a pretty wild life as a teenager, and you know, got kicked out of high school, and never finished high school. Left home when I was 15, almost 16, and. Sold drugs, did drugs, just wild, lost as a goose. And I came home and I laid down on my back and I was tired. I mean, I'd been trying to do this. I'd been trying for about 3 days to not cuss. I thought, that'll do it. If I quit cussing, I'll go to heaven. And I wasn't doing a good job. I was having a tough time because I wasn't changed, see? I wasn't changed. I thought if I could just be good enough, you know. Tried all that. But I finally gave up, and I finally prayed. I remember laying on my back, and I said, God, I didn't know what to say. I just said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I remember saying, I can't do this. I can't do this, God. And I said, Jesus, if you can help me, help me. Hey, now I wasn't crying then. I learned to cry later. You know, I wasn't into crying then. But I was depressed. I was down. I was at the end of my rope. I just, you know, and I was very sincere. From my heart, I meant that. I meant everything I said. It wasn't a great prayer. It wasn't just theologically correct, but you know what was in that prayer? Jesus.
Yes.
I called on Jesus. I asked Him to help me, and I turned my life. I turned my life over to Him that day. I remember it. I turned my life. To me, that was a commitment to Him. And boy, I mean, that weekend I started looking for a church to go to. Brent and I went to church and went to a couple of them Sunday morning, in between Sunday school and church. Didn't like Sunday school, went to another one right after Sunday school. I was picky, you know. Didn't know what I was picky about. But anyway, we finally wound up in another church, but you know, He saved me. He saved me right then. Saved me 2,000 years ago. I accepted it back then.
Yes.
I actually met Him that day. I opened my heart up and I said, come on in. Take me over. I'm done. Stick the fork in. I'm done. I need help. And He helped me. I've never been the same since. Never been the same since. Changed my life. Changed my whole passion. All my desires. I just wanted to know Him. It's almost like Brenda lost her husband. I mean, because those first few months, I was just nuts. I was reading the Bible, and everything was good. You know, they'd say underline the good parts. Well, I was underlining every verse. They were all good. I never had heard any of them. I didn't know any of them, you know. And I had these index cards, and I began to write scriptures on index cards. I had stacks of them. I had this little closet that I put a card table in, and I would put cards on the wall. Oh, that's a good verse. Ooh, that's so good. And I had I wallpapered the wall with them. I mean, you know, just cards, that all these scriptures. I was hungry. I was so hungry for God. I found what I was looking for. I found Him. I accepted and I received Him. And the rest is history. History. I mean, after about a year or so, I started tearing up a little bit, you know. Now I'm just a blubber baby. They took my name out of the jar. Because the deed was done. The job was finished. Hallelujah. Hey, turn with me to Romans 10. Look at that. A couple verses there in Romans 10. This helping you?
Yeah.
Don't ever forget this stuff. I mean, come on. You know, The greatest thing ever happened to you is when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Nothing ever greater than that. Nothing ever will top that. Nothing. You know, I thank God for this church. I thank God for, you know, ministering and pastoring and doing all the things I've done. But there's nothing that will ever top that day. Nothing will ever top that day. That sealed my future. That got me on the right road. Took me down a totally different destiny for my life. My whole life changed in that moment. I had no idea at that moment I was going to be a pastor. Are you kidding? If God had told me, well, now I want you to pastor, I'd probably quit. I wouldn't have called on Him. I couldn't handle all that. I was just happy to be saved. I remember when God called me to preach, I tried to talk Him out of it. I didn't want to do that. I was happy to be saved. I was just so excited about going to heaven and having my sins forgiven, having peace. Oh, man, real peace, having purpose, having a reason to live and a purpose in life. You know, and somebody loved me and cared for me. And my goodness, and I know, you know, Brenda loved me and I understand that. She was the best thing ever happened to me until I accepted Jesus. But, you know, now I had an eternal destiny. I didn't care if I ever taught or ever pastored. Are you kidding? I was just glad to be saved. And telling everybody about it, too. It scared me when he wanted me to teach. Man, I thought, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't ask for that. It's kind of what happens, you know, you go to the dentist, you got a toothache, and then he starts beating around in there and finding all kinds of stuff he needs to work on. And you go, I didn't come down there for that, just give me something for this tooth, okay? He said, no, we need to fix that, we need to fix this. You know, he gives you an overhaul. You go to the doctor for one pain, and he finds these other things he wants to fix. Well, see, God just loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He'll take you the way you are, but He will not leave you the way you are. Because He loves you too much. And He wants to make you whole. He wants to fix you totally. Romans 10. I got to quit. Goodness. It's y'all's fault.
Yeah.
Romans 10, classic salvation verses. These are just simple, simple verses. Romans 10, notice this in the verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus... Love that one. Jesus is my Lord. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You shall be saved. I pray with more people that prayer, just that simple, simple scripture. I was at a table one time with Brent and I were at somebody's house and a young lady was there and we were talking about salvation and, you know, and she was kind of interested, and I said, well, have you ever been saved? She said, well, I don't know. I don't know that I have. And I said, well, would you like to just say this? I mean, do you believe? I mean, ask you a question. I asked her, I said, do you believe that Jesus is risen from the dead? She said, well, I do believe that. I believe He did rise from the dead. I believe He's alive. And I said, well, you know what it says here? It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You already got the second half of that thing done. Why don't we just go ahead right now and confess Him as Lord? Would you like to accept Him, receive Him, believe on Him, and confess Jesus is my Lord? She says, yeah, I'd like to do that. And it was just so simple. We just sat right there and I said, let's just do it. And she said, I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe that God has raised Him from the dead. And I looked at her and I said, you are saved if you believe that. Because that's what the Scripture says. And she just lit up and said, well, that's so simple. I said, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
It's so simple. And the devil tries to deceive us, keep us blinded to it, keep us busy, keeps us from saying that and calling on Him. You know why? And I'll tell you, the fear that he brings a lot of times is that man, that's no fun being a Christian. I want to live my life. I'm going to give up all this.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I gave up jails. I gave up drugs. I gave up waking up not knowing where I was the night before or how I got to where I was. I gave that up.
Yeah.
I gave up all my money gone on the weekend. Whatever I made that week, it was gone because I spent it on the weekend.
Amen.
I gave up black eyes, busted lip. You wake up, don't know what fight you were in. But you know what? I was a man. I gave it all up for Jesus. Yeah, I gave up a lot. I gave up the loneliness. I gave up the emptiness. I gave up the pain. I gave up. Gave it all up. No, I'll tell you, this is the only way to live. There's really only one way to live, and that's to live for Jesus. There's a lot of ways to die. People choose all kinds of ways to die, but there's only one way to live, and that's Jesus. And it says here that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So to personalize that, you would say, well, you know what? I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. And I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus, you are my Lord. Therefore, I am saved. And the 13th verse, notice it. We'll close out with this. The 13th verse says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everybody say whosoever. There it is again. That's just like whosoever over in John 3:16. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the 13th verse says, whoever calls. Well, man, that's what I did when I was 19. I called on him. I called on Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, his name's Jesus, shall be saved. I have called on the name of the Lord, Jesus. Jesus, I've called on you. Therefore, I am saved. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, you are my Lord. I believe that God has raised you from the dead. The tomb is empty. Therefore, I am saved. Amen. I believe on you, Jesus. I don't perish. I have everlasting life. I have received you. I have believed on your name. I am a child of God. I know you, Jesus. I've met you. I know you. This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Hey, it couldn't be any more simple than that. And I'm glad he made it simple, aren't you? I really believe you can be too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb to get it. Because he made it that simple, so nobody could miss it. Many of us are too smart. You know, I was too smart for a long time. And then I got real dumb, and then I got smart again. I accepted Jesus, and I got smart.